14, Joseph Gallo Farms Feedlot. Mr. Briggs?
Thank you. This is for a feedlot outside of Gonzales, Monterey County. And Tom Kukul of our staff will be giving the staff presentation. And I'll just remind the board, since we are now on this item, that we did prepare two supplemental sheets. The first one we mailed out. It says prepared on January 29th. That's the thicker one. And then we had a shorter two-page supplemental sheet, which responds to a letter from Mr. Zoe, if that's how he pronounces it, which we just provided in the last 24 hours.
Just three cards?
So far, we just have three cards for this item. So Tom Kukul will make our staff presentation.
Good morning. Yes, I'm Tom Kukul.
Maybe.
Okay.
And I'm presenting an NPDES permit renewal for the Joseph Gallo Farms feedlot. As Roger mentioned, there were two supplemental sheets. I won't go into detail on those, but you have those. The feedlot itself is located northwest of Gonzales in the Salinas Valley. It's been a cattle operation since at least 1969. Gallo purchased it in 2001. And they've averaged 10,500 head of cattle since 2001. The facility's a heifer operation. A heifer's a young cow before she's had her first calf. It's basically a maternity ward that produces heifers that Gallo then ships to off-site dairies. The facility's regulated under an NPDES permit, which includes federal regulations for concentrated animal feeding operations, or CAFOs. The existing permit allows 30,000 head of cattle. And again, Gallo averages 10,500 head. That's about the level they need to support their dairy operations. The permit expired about a little over a year ago, and it's overdue for renewal. The discharger submitted a timely application, so staff is obliged to process the renewal to satisfy the US EPA, for whom we implement the NPDES program. And we need to be responsive to the discharger and allow them to have a current permit. So today's adoption would allow nutrient management at the facility using current estimates of nutrients in their manure and their runoff and their soils. Today's permit would impose new CAFO requirements, and today's permit would also initiate a groundwater monitoring program. I'll get into that later. But if we look at the Gonzales region, we see the feedlot located northwest of Gonzales, tucked up against the Gabilon Range. Johnson Creek flows out of the Gabilon Range to Gonzales, then makes its way to the Salinas River. The feedlot's about a mile from Gonzales. And as the crow flies, it's about 3 miles to the Salinas River. The facility has some neighbors, including a liquid composting facility, a landfill, a large winery treats and disposes of wastewater here, and there's a good-sized solid composting facility. Also agricultural land uses around there. So the region has many potential sources for nutrients and minerals, and with this permit, we're trying to protect the receiving water, primarily groundwater, but could be surface water, from Gallo's discharge. Here we have another view of the feedlot looking east towards the Gabilon Range. The feedlot property is 273 acres, and within that property, we've got an irrigation area that Gallo uses to grow oats using runoff from their animal confinement area. We've got a manure composting area, dry storage for feed and equipment, and the confined animal area. Stormwater flows through the confined animal area by gravity into these ponds. From those ponds, the wastewater, the runoff water, is pumped to an irrigation pond, pond 12A, and that pond is used to irrigate the oat field. Manure is scraped and removed from the composting area, removed to a composting area, and then after it's composted, it's taken off site. There's also other ponds that feed by gravity to the irrigation pond, and that water is also used in the irrigation area. We had comments from the Monterey Coastkeeper questioning the pond capacity. The discharger prepared some calculations based on Natural Resource Conservation Service approved methods and determined that the calcs predict adequate capacity. We also have actual performance of the ponds to make judgments on. And the required capacity in the permit is that the pond contain runoff from a 25-year, 24-hour storm, provided that they've done their proper maintenance and the rest of it, so they don't have too many solids going into the ponds. So in the Gonzales area, 25-year, 24-hour storm produces about 3 inches. Last month, January, we have a total of 3 inches produced over 6 days, according to a weather station, a National Weather Service station in Salinas. And the Salinas precipitation is in the range of Salinas or precipitation in Gonzales. So we didn't have 3 inches over 1 day, but we did have 3 inches over 6 days. And that volume of runoff went to the ponds. There was no irrigation during that time, and evapotranspiration was low. So this volume was equivalent to the volume produced by the 25-year, 24-hour storm. And we have pictures of the ponds after that series of storms. This was taken on January 22nd, just after the last storm. And this is pond 2. It's located in the most down gradient portion of the property. And the pond itself has a lot of capacity, a lot of freeboard. Here's the irrigation pond, which is located up here. That's where we pump wastewater to. And I guess it's hard to tell from the picture, but again, there's a lot of capacity in that pond. And one final pond is pond 1, again, one of the lower ponds. And as you can see, it has capacity. So the ponds took 3 inches of rain and held it with room to spare. We're worried about groundwater beneath the facility. The landfill next door has groundwater monitoring wells that indicate groundwater is about 200 feet below the ground surface. We're concerned that nutrients could leach to groundwater. So the permit requires a nutrient management plan that's intended to minimize nutrients, and the plan is implements the new 2008 CAFO rules. With nutrient management at Gallo, the solids are taken off site again. Liquids are used to grow oats. The oats are harvested to remove those nutrients. Coastkeeper believes nutrient management plan is based on insufficient data. As we discussed in the supplemental sheet, we believe the data is sufficient for regulatory purposes. If there were excess nutrients, they would leach to groundwater. The permit requires a groundwater monitoring plan that should help us detect any impacts to groundwater. The groundwater monitoring plan is required 180 days after the permit's adopted. Staff will review the plan for its adequacy. And after review, the staff will revise the monitoring and reporting program to implement groundwater monitoring. If the monitoring reveals violations, the permit already allows enforcement. So the permit would not have to be changed. It already allows enforcement as it is. The Coastkeeper comments that submitting a groundwater plan after the permit's adopted denies public opportunity to comment on the groundwater monitoring plan. But the groundwater monitoring plan will be a public document, and the public can communicate with staff. Staff will consider public recommendations when reviewing the plan. Oh, that's the end of that one. So if we adopted the permit today, we would use current estimates of nutrients going out to the facility. We would impose the new CAFO requirements, which include more stringent nutrient management plan requirements, and we would begin the process of getting groundwater data. There were some suggestions that we delay the permit. If we do that to get groundwater data, then we delay implementing the new CAFO regs and revising the annual nutrient management plan. So this seems like there's no environmental benefit to delay. So staff believes the existing permit will be protective of water quality, and we recommend adoption, including the supplemental sheet revisions. And that's all I have for now.
Okay. Any board comments or questions at this juncture for staff? All right. Mr. Briggs?
Yes.
Who shall we ask to come up first?
The discharger reps are here.
Okay.
And I'll point out for everyone's benefit in terms of what to expect here. Steve Schimmick of Coastkeeper did make a case for allowing for extra time this morning, and the chair granted 15 minutes, and the discharger has a like amount of time.
Okay. So, Mr. Mockin?
Mr. Morris,
fine, go ahead.
So I'm Carl Morris. I'm the general manager of Joseph Gallo Farms. I just wanted to tell you a little bit about our company before we get further into the details of the permit. We are a farming, dairy, and farmstead cheesemaking operation based in Merced County. And we raise our heifers at this Heifer City feedlot outside Gonzales because it's a wonderful place to raise heifers. We've found that the climate is very moderate, and it's dry, and it's excellent sources of nutritious broccoli and lettuce and carrots and other wet feeds available in the area, and we find it's a great place to raise heifers. Our environmental record as a company, we're very proud of it. I think over the years we've proven ourselves to be good stewards of the land. We've used no artificial hormones of any kind in raising our animals and our cows. We've won numerous environmental awards over the years in such areas as renewable energy. We have a renewable energy project where we produce electricity out of the cow manure to power our cheese plant. And then other areas, wildlife compatible farming and wetlands restoration projects for some of the wildlife refuges adjacent to our dairy farms. In Monterey County, we provide some important macro benefits to the region. Our heifers consume over 100,000 tons of vegetable coals from the packing houses in the area, which could otherwise go to landfills. And then, of course, our manure is turned into a high-quality compost for the organic and conventional growers in the area. And we've always operated in full compliance with the state requirements under our permits. So with me today, I have Roland Perez, our environmental administrator, and Lolita Almuller and Steve Mockenhoff with Conestoga Rovers Associates, our environmental engineers. And now I'd like to turn it over to Steve for further information. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Steve Mockenhoff with Conestoga Rovers and Associates, and we are an environmental engineering firm that has been working with Gallo both at their facilities in Merced County for the WDR reporting and the engineering evaluations, and at this facility for the permit renewal. A lot of what Tom covered is covered in these slides, so I won't bore you and re-go over everything. We don't need to rehash everything, but the point on this slide, I guess, is when Gallo purchased the property. Actually, we found out it was purchased in 2003. In 2001, they leased the property. So from 2001 to 2003, they operated under that permit. In 2003, when the property was purchased, a new permit was issued to Gallo as property owner. current operation, as Tom had said, is a heifer-raising facility. They're currently permitted for 30,000. The average has been 10,500. The corrals are graded to drain to the series of ponds. That was an intentional practice. The facility was regraded. Swales were surveyed to divert all of the stormwater that could potentially impact surface water to the ponds. If you notice, well, we'll get to a picture in a minute, there was a section of area that was taken out of production because there was no physical way of getting that drainage to the ponds. It was too low in elevation, so they were removed from production. Clean water is diverted up. This site sits on a fairly substantial hillside, and there is a significant amount of clean water that does come down from upslope. All that water is diverted around or into clean water ponds on the property. Again, those were intentionally designed to keep the clean water upstream of the production area from coming into contact with animal waste. That water is used as irrigation along with the wastewater. As Tom had said, the manure is handled as a solid manure. This is not a typical dairy operation where everything is a liquid. The solids are scraped up and taken to a composting area, and that manure with most of the nutrients is shipped off-site. So really what is handled on-site is wastewater, which is precipitation that has been impacted by animal waste. The composting operation itself is operated by Central Coast Composters. Gallo intentionally partnered with someone that had the expertise to do the composting, to monitor temperatures, do the sampling that's required, do the bacterial testing before it's shipped off-site. They just didn't have the resources to do it their own. So Central Coast Composters is the entity that does the actual composting and off-site shipment. They do provide Gallo with copies of all the tests as the material is shipped off-site. This is almost a tough picture to see. Tom actually had some better photographs. This area here is the area that was taken out of production. That was pre-Gallo ownership, actually, I believe. When the ponds were engineered and built by the NRCS, that area was so low, there was no physical way of getting the potential wastewater into these ponds. So they were taken out of production. There are no animals there. There have not been animals there. The storage capacity. One of the two things that were necessary for the new permit application was to determine, is there adequate storage capacity and can they handle the amount of nutrients that are generated at the site? We looked at the storage capacity of those ponds. We also looked at the potential volume of wastewater that would be discharged. We looked at it a couple of different ways, as Tom had said. The preferred method in California is the dairy planning tool. It's the preferred computer program where you look at the size of the area, the soil types, the amount of impervious surface versus, you know, pervious surface, rainfall, precipitation, and your storage period, and it will generate a number. This is theoretically how much water should be generated from the animals and from precipitation and runoff. We also used a more national tool called the Agricultural Waste Management Tool, and it's a similar program. Both of them confirm that there is adequate storage capacity at this facility to handle the water up to and including the 24-hour, 25-year storm event. And I think, as Tom had indicated, based on the rainfalls that they've had, it just supports that conclusion. The required storage period for this facility was 120 days. That's a time period that was selected for several reasons. It's generally the highest average rainfall for this area. It is the lowest evaporation, and it is also the time period when irrigation generally doesn't occur. It represents a worst-case scenario of the amount of water potentially generated from that facility. So the 120 days goes from November to February, and that's the reason we chose 120 days. The nutrient management plan was another component of the new CAFO regulations, and basically it's a plan that needs to demonstrate that the facility can handle the nutrients they generate at the farm. The water in this particular case is the only nutrients that are used on farm. As I said, the solid manure is shipped off-site. So the nutrient management plan focused on the wastewater concentrations, how much water is applied to the field, when it's applied, and how much nutrients they're actually putting on. It's a fairly substantial document. We went through and actually talked with the water board's consultant to double-check to make sure that, all of the new CAFO regs were included in the nutrient management plan. The new CAFO regs are new. They came out in December. This is probably one of the first permits that's covered under the new CAFO regs. So there was some back and forth with the water board's consultant. Based on the conclusions of the nutrient management plan, they're under-applying the nutrients that are needed for growing oats on those fields. That's not a big issue because we're not a cash cropper. We don't need to optimize oats growth on that property. It's really a supplemental feed for the cattle. They don't use commercial fertilizer and they don't use solid manure. Oops. Sorry. The new CAFO regs require an annual update to the nutrient management plans. They need to be evaluated every year. I think there was some concern about the numbers that were used in the initial starting nutrient management plan for this facility. We used the most current sampling data, and it actually coincided to be the highest number for wastewater. There was other data from previous years, but we used the most recent highest number when calculating nutrient applications to that field. We also recommended, there's a whole series of recommendations in the nutrient management plan to do soil sampling, to do tissue sampling. How much nutrients are still left in the field after the two or three crops of oats have been removed, because that residual nutrients are available for the next crop. It's a nutrient balance to make sure that you are not over-applying nutrients that could impact groundwater. There are there was some data for this site, and I have to say that we've worked on probably about 140 facilities in California, and there are nutrient management plans that were prepared with no data. The farmers did not have any information. In that particular instance, the only thing you have is book values. It's a perfectly acceptable way of doing it with recommendations that they need to start sampling. You need to sample your manure, your wastewater, your irrigation water, so you can come up with a balance of what's being applied so you can confirm that it's not over-applied. That's the end of my slideshow. If you have questions, I can...
Any board questions? Mr. O'Malley?
Yes, I don't know if you're able to go back to that slide that had a geographical layout of your operation.
Tom's slide or my slide? His were better, but...
Well, let's go with the better ones. I was particularly, we had some questions about the area taken out of production, and it was low related.
Is that one okay?
Yes, that's fine.
Sure.
And I was just curious, what happens in the area that's been taken out of production? What is it used for? Is it left fallow? What kind of vegetation is there?
Is that cropland or is that?
It's currently fallow. There have been row crops raised in different kinds of pasture.
So the crops are just rotated and?
It's primarily fallow. It's been that way for 2 or 3 years.
Okay, thank you. And other question, little aside, right out of college, I ended up going to the Navajo Indian Reservation and taught science, where I got to make a demonstration methane gas generator. So I'm always impressed with folks that can do that on a larger scale, but it is a challenge. Could you describe that operation a little bit, maybe show a little bit where that might be and what is involved? Because you've got to accumulate a lot of waste products, run it through a system, and then dispose of what comes out.
Sure.
And maybe you could elaborate a little bit on that process.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our methane gas generator operation is in Merced County, at one of our dairies over there. And we have a manure digester, and it produces the methane that goes over to the cheese plant to power a generator that produces electricity.
Okay, so you transport waste products from here, or maybe I misunderstood you?
No, it's all from our Merced County operations.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other board questions or comments at this point in time? Okay. Mr. Shimek. Mr. Shimek? Thank you very much.
I have a PowerPoint slide.
Okay.
I don't know if it's on yet.
I don't know if this presentation is loaded yet. Do you want to take a break or do you want to wait?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Is there a... Okay, good. Good morning, everyone. Steve Shimek, Monterey Coast Keeper, and I'm sorry I'm talking to you guys this much today. I don't like doing this. This is not permitted for 10,000 cattle. You're looking at a permit for 30,000 cattle. 30,000 cattle. According to our consultant, at fully populated with 30,000 animal units, this facility would produce the equivalent of 600,000 people. So one of my very first questions to you is, have you given this permit the consideration of a permit that you would grant for 600,000 people? That's kind of a rhetorical question, but you need to be paying attention to this permit. So this is a Google Earth picture. You've seen this before. Basically, there's the cattle feeding operation, the feeding pens. This is kind of industrial facility with, as far as moving feed around and also compost. Here's the 64 acres. Now let's keep this in perspective. 64 acres, that's about one-tenth of a square mile. 64 acres. So this didn't come out really well, but when you actually look at this on the screen, you can actually see all the cattle on that facility. You know, and you can also see that there's kind of drainage patterns moving through this. So one of the things that you have to ask is, what are these drainage patterns? Where is the water moving? How is the water being moved around on the facility? Johnson Creek is, was over to the side. I think I just pushed. Here's, again, just some pictures that are showing what is next to Johnson Creek. These are sheds. These are garbage bins. There's stacks of mattresses. Basically, a lot of junk, including hydraulic equipment, has been moved and laid off right alongside Johnson Creek right here. So again, everything is kind of moving from right to left in this picture. And you can see these ponds right down here. These are kind of the ultimate ponds. Those are the ones that are at the bottom of the slope. So one of our things that we're suggesting is that the entire system does not have enough capacity. Why would we think that? Well, here's those ultimate ponds. Here's a picture taken in January 2008. You can see that they're pretty full, but they're not overflowing. Here's a picture of the outfall. Now, this ditch actually starts right at this overflow point, and you can see that the ditch is silted in. So, in other words, this where you're looking at, just to get you oriented, is that you're looking from, a spinach and lettuce field, and you're looking at the head of the ditch, and then across Iverson Road, that berm right there is essentially the structure that is holding that last ditch back. And so the water overflows from that pond into an overflow device and then out that culvert. We believe that this does not have enough capacity, and I'll get into that in a second. Where does this ditch flow? Does it flow directly to Johnson Creek? Well, I actually don't know where this ditch flows because it flows across over a mile through other open ditches that flow through irrigated farmland. It does not. Johnson Creek is over here. This ditch flows out here and then this way. It probably gets to Johnson Creek somewhere down near the town of Gonzales, right in town. But again, it's private property, and I can't go there. So our concerns, the wastewater pond siting, the nutrient management, the monitoring, and the process this has all gone through. Let's get to the wastewater pond sizing first. Well, here's what it says in the permit. The discharger shall maintain a minimum 120-day wastewater storage capacity of 13.56, keep that number in mind, 13.56 million gallons to accommodate normal precipitation and runoff and direct precipitation of the 25-year, 24-hour rainfall event. So basically 4 months of storage plus a big rainfall. Nutrient management plan, appendix B, page 1, total and this is the dairy plan. What the discharger has said is the preferred method. Here it is, right here. What's the bottom line? The bottom line is total required volume, 1,950,280 cubic feet. That equates to 14.589170.352 gallons. 14.5 million gallons, where your permit says 13 million gallons is all that they have to store for. This permit takes the wrong number. The permit uses the wrong number. Let's look at it another way. The discharger stood up, and in capacity. What's the capacity? Because that's a critical issue. You've got this volume. Do they have the capacity? Well, if you look at the number that they use for capacity, the capacity is 14.1 million gallons. You heard the discharger stand up here and say that that's their capacity. Well, how does 14.5 compare with 14.1? 14.5 is a bigger number. They do not have the capacity. Here is the discharger's own worksheet, the dairy planning tool that they said that you must use. Which 120 days? You heard the discharger stand up here just a moment ago and say, well, we're being very precautionary. We're picking the 120 days with the most rainfall. Are they? November through February. Well, there's the numbers that they pick for the permit. 1.78, 2.02, 2.15, 1.84. Well, does that come to the biggest sum? Well, no, it doesn't. It doesn't come to the biggest sum. Now, they would say, I think, because they actually responded to my comments, and I hope by reference I can include, I don't know if I can do this, but their response to my comments, which was submitted to the regional board and then submitted to me. They say, well, no, because we can irrigate some in March. We can use some of that water. Can they irrigate when they're getting 2.13 inches of rainfall in this area? Can they irrigate? I would suggest that the precautionary principle would say use these numbers. If you use these numbers, that wastewater ponding system is even less adequate. Even less adequate. I know that this ponding system is not adequate to control the waste water. I know that. Our concerns, nutrient management. Wastewater disposal occurs by evaporation and disposal onto 64 acres of spray irrigated, regularly harvested oat fields. Mr. Hayashi, I won't ask you directly, but if you were to dump the liquid waste from 30,000 head of cattle onto one-tenth of a square mile, don't you think that that would burn the hell out of those crops? I do. If you think that that's reasonable, a reasonable number, then you can vote for this. If you think that that is an unreasonable number, you cannot vote for this permit. So does it make sense? Liquid waste from 30,000 head dumped on a tenth of a square mile. I say that that doesn't make sense. Does it pencil out the water sample? There's a single sample, one, a single sample that the entire nutrient management plan is based upon. That sample was taken October 28, 2008, when there is no runoff. No runoff. Only 10,890 head of cattle were on site. It's inappropriate use of that number. Location is not specified, but it is implied to be 12A in a permit application. Now, again, in that response to my comments, they do say the sample is taken from 12A. So where's 12A? Well, the slope goes this way. There's pond 1, pond 2, pond 146, which is in the middle. This dark black area is where the cattle are. Where's pond 12A? There's pond 12A up above the cattle. Now, they say, well, no, but we pump water from here up to here. The pump is only on pond 2. Well, they're not pumping when there's no runoff. It says in the law that you have to specify the date and the exact location of your monitoring. That's not there. It says in the law that you'll do this on peak discharges. That's not when they did it. The crop is triple cropped with oats. Well, I called. Why does this matter? That's how you get rid of the nutrients off the site. Well, there's the phone number of the Agricultural Statistics Service. Call it. Take a break. Call that number. California Crop Review, oat yields per acre, 1.68 tons per acre. Not the 12 tons. Maybe it's silage. Maybe they're using the whole plant. That's likely. Well, they pointed me, the USDA pointed me to the hay numbers, which are 2.54 tons per acre. Not 12, not 36. They've never heard of numbers this high. The fields would probably, the yield would go down if you had triple crop, if you triple cropped it. They've never heard of triple cropping of oats. Our concerns, monitoring, Dr. Shaw's, our consultant's report has gone into this in detail, so I won't repeat all that. The monitoring requirements are inadequate. Not enough monitoring points, not often enough, and they don't monitor the really dirty ponds. Process. The noticing was a problem on this issue. It truly was. We have expressed interest in CAFOs consistently. We were not noticed. The cities should care about this. The cities should have gotten specific notice on this because the cities are getting dinged for polluted water that is coming into their cities and then they have to deal with. Irrigated ag should care about this because they have to deal with this dirty groundwater. There were additional comments made by Sierra Club and Environmental Justice Coalition for Water that were not let into this record. Have you ever heard of that as board members? I sat up here when Salinas Stormwater was heard. There were comments flying the day of the hearing, and they were allowed in. This is the first time, and maybe I'm just naive, but this is the first time that comments received Monday were not let into the record. Well, I don't have Environmental Justice's letter. I do have Sierra Club's letter. Here it is. I'd like to bring it in by reference. I don't know if I can do that. I'm not a lawyer. Okay. But there's the letter. The groundwater monitoring that's the nut of this whole issue. And it's supposedly not going to be completed or even shown to the, it's not going to exist for 120 days until after the permit. We offered a compromise on this issue. I want to make the point that perhaps that compromise is off the table, but we could consider it. Our compromise was give them a one-year permit. And in that way, you can come back to this issue after their groundwater monitoring is in place. I have an email from Roger saying we're not accepting that compromise offer. I ask that this be heard closer to the affected public. If you had a NPDES permit for 600,000 people, you would hear it near the affected public. The email that I have from Mr. Briggs says, well, no, you know, San Luis Obispo is, it's only a little further away. That's not true. It's not near the affected public. The Salinas Valley is the affected public. You had people at your Watsonville meeting talking about nitrate pollution in their groundwater. It's the Salinas Valley. This hearing should be held in the Salinas Valley. So I'm passionate about this permit. This permit is not fully cooked. It's not right. It uses wrong numbers. And it's not being heard where it should be heard. This permit is not fully cooked. There's lots of water on this site. I am wrapping it up. Thank you. 30,000 cattle is what you're permitting, not 10,000. At fully populated 30,000 animal units, this facility would produce the equivalent of 600,000 people. Is this permit receiving the same scrutiny that a permit for 600,000 people would receive? Are the numeric standards discharge requirements the same as you would require for 600,000 people? Would an NPDES permit of this importance normally be heard so distant from the affected public? Now, your staff is going to stand up and say, we're meeting all the regulations. We're meeting the CAFO regulations. A large CAFO, consolidated animal feeding operation, a large CAFO starts at 10,000 head. This is 30 times where large starts. This is big, very, very big. Thank you.
Okay, any questions or comments for the speaker? Yes.
Is it 3 or 30?
3,000 or 30,000? No. It is no. 30,000 head.
No, is it 3 times or 30 times?
30 times.
10,000 times 30 is?
No, 10,000 times. I don't know where 10,000 is coming from.
Well, you said you started at 10,000.
So 1,000 head is where the definition of large CAFO starts.
Well, you told me 10,000.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. 1,000 head of cattle is where the definition of large CAFO starts. This is 30 times that size.
Thank you very much. Okay. Just so the board knows, we got a request from Mr. Shimmick to submit documents after the cutoff. The cutoff is put into the agenda and for this item. And I granted that request. We got two additional letters just sent to us after the deadline asking to be submitted. I denied those requests. I did ask Roger, which I'm sure he did, let those authors know that they could come to the hearing and read their comments into the record. But just to keep, try to be consistent with our policies, we have deadlines that are publicized. We try to adhere to them. If someone asks us to submit something late, we try to accommodate that. And so that's what happened with this. Board comments, questions?
I have a question for the staff.
Go ahead.
My questions are starting with number one. This is a site that's been used for cattle feedlot for a number of years. And is this the maximum use of historic use? What I'm asking is 30,000 head, is that the most that's ever been on there? It seemed like it was a higher number before.
They had 86,000 in the mid-70s, I believe.
Now, is this 30,000 head, is this an average or is this maximum?
The permit permits a maximum of 30,000 head.
In your description of the property, you did allude to how it slopes, but I don't think you really emphasized that this is not flat land. It really is a very sloped piece of property in that particular area. It's on the east side of the Salinas Valley, and it pretty well goes uphill. Have you looked at the historic data that the Monterey County Water Resources Agency did on that property for nitrate contamination?
I'm not aware of any specific studies on that property for nitrate contamination.
I think some years ago I brought a document and gave it to the staff because I was one of the board members that investigated the nitrate contamination at that particular piece of property. And there is a document somewhere in our archives that deals with nitrate contamination in the Salinas Valley as well as that piece of property. The groundwater monitoring plan, I'm a little surprised that we didn't have that with this permit, because I would have liked to have seen that and how it lays out. And why, I don't remember why we didn't have one on the original permit, since we were aware of the nitrate problems and on that particular piece of property and the runoffs.
The existing permit contained a provision that required, if the executive officer deemed appropriate, a groundwater monitoring program. The staffer that drafted that permit then moved on to a different program within our office, and it wasn't really looked at from that perspective after that staffer moved on.
How many groundwater monitoring wells do we have on that site at this point? And is this permit, and I was trying to find it, is it requiring more? Or are we waiting for the groundwater monitoring plan to come in to tell us?
There are no groundwater monitoring wells on that property right now. We are waiting to develop and create a groundwater monitoring system.
Okay. There isn't now, but wasn't there some previously?
Not that I'm aware of. I looked through the file and saw no indication of any.
Okay. That's all I have now, Mr. Chair.
Maybe we could ask the discharger, maybe Mr. Morris or your associate, your scientist, do you know if you could come up and just let us know, has there been any specific groundwater monitoring at this site historically that you're aware of?
Good morning. My name is Roland Perez. As far as groundwater monitoring is concerned, on the specifically for the site, there has not been any monitoring per se. You know, we have deep ag wells, but and we've at times looked at that just for our own purposes of some nitrates. And there is a domestic well too that's there, and that's monitored as well by county preferences. And so we look at that periodically. But as far as monitoring wells per se, you know, groundwater is probably about 250 feet beneath the ground surface. So that's one of the things that we're going to implement next is going to be a groundwater monitoring plan with Conestoga Rowan Associates, helping us determine what's the best format for that.
Wait, now, the domestic well, is that on the property?
It's upgraded.
It's upslope?
Yes, sir.
Upgraded.
Yes, sir.
Does it have any nitrate levels in it?
No.
And the nearest domestic well to the site is where?
On the site, you mean?
Well, to the site.
To the site, yeah. Be up gradient. There is two ag wells we do have on site. They're down gradient, but for the most part, that's been. It hasn't been used as a monitoring well per se to monitor the nitrates.
Right. And so those wells are pulling water up from the 250 foot depth?
At times it could. Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you know what we level did, do they have? Have those wells been sampled?
We did recently, and I'm waiting for some more data back from that. But okay. But there were the nitrates were fairly low, very low nitrates.
Could you say I didn't?
The nitrates were low nitrates on that well.
What levels are low?
Well, we're going to be looking at more studies. I can't recall the number on that, but in fact, we're expecting the results here soon on one of the wells, one of the ag wells.
Was that the first time the wells had been monitored or sampled?
We have not been monitoring that, sir. No, sir, Mr. Young.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. So that's been their historical wells have been there before we purchased the property. So that was The other thing, if I can mention too, there was some erroneous photographs by Mr. Schimmick regarding some of the photos he had there with the mattresses and that stuff. That's not our property. And the other one was the drain coming off from the property. On the other side, it's been capped, so there's no way water can get really through there. So I just want to make a comment on that as well.
How do you characterize the soils there?
The soils are basically silty soils.
Porous? Sandy?
Clay.
Clay? Hard clay?
Silty sand, silty clay.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And to your knowledge, there's Monterey County Water Resources Agency hasn't taken any samples or you haven't provided any samples of your wells to them?
The samples that we monitor, sir, are going to be from our domestic well. That has been sampled. That's upgrading well. Yes, sir.
Upgrading. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Another question.
Yes.
Excuse me. I didn't catch your name. I'm sorry. Your name?
Roland Perez.
Okay. Thanks. As long as you're there, could you please address the discrepancy that Mr. Schimmick was talking about on the calculations in the nutrient management plan versus the capacity required in the permit and that sort of thing?
Sure. And with that, I will turn that over then. If I could, we have our nutrient management plan, our specialists here, our consultants that have worked extensively on that. So if I could refer that question there. Alita, do you want to do that? See?
Can I give you a little bit of information?
Yes.
The nutrient management plan that Gallup prepared says well analysis exhibited a nitrate concentration of 21 milligrams per liter. You were asking about nitrogen from supply wells on site, 21 milligrams per liter, which is consistent with other wells in that region.
What is the drinking water standard
for
that constituent?
Well, this is for nitrates. The drinking water standard would be 45 milligrams per liter as N.
As N.
For nitrate.
For nitrates.
Okay. There's two standards. There's 10 and 45 in your state. The 10 is for nitrate as nitrogen, and 45 nitrate as nitrate. So I don't know what that was reported at. Probably nitrate is nitrate.
It doesn't say whether this is reported as N or as nitrate. So I can't draw a lot of conclusions. But I know that looking at Monterey County Water Resource Agency reports on nitrates in the lower Salinas Valley, they're reporting similar values for nitrates.
Okay, go ahead.
The question was on the numbers, the discrepancy in the numbers, and I think there may have been a misunderstanding in how those numbers were interpreted. The 13 million gallon number that was presented is the amount of water that needs to be contained. The 14.5 million gallon number is the number of storage on the property. So 13.5 or 7 million, whatever that number was, is the potential volume of material liquid coming off that site that would need to be contained.
There's four. You add to that the 24-hour.
That's part of the 13.5 or 13.7 number. I would also like to add that when we did the evaluation of the capacity of the storage pond, you can pick in the program the freeboard footage as a safety factor. Some states require 2 feet. Some states require 1 foot. That's extra capacity in the event of something unforeseen. When we ran those programs, we picked a 2 foot freeboard for all of those ponds. You could pick 1 foot. Because those ponds gravity flow to one another, we would have had an extra foot of freeboard, but that was not included in our estimate, just to be on the conservative side. So we could rerun it and get a higher number. I think it was like almost 2 acre feet extra if we would have taken off the 2 foot of freeboard and only made it one, but we didn't do that. We saw that the storage capacity was adequate, and that was all we needed to know.
What happens to these numbers if you've got 30,000 head?
The numbers don't. It's precipitation and runoff. It's okay. A liquid. That's probably a little confusing when they're talking about waste from 600,000 people. The majority of the waste is solid material that's gone. So really, what we're dealing with is rainfall and precipitation that runs off and makes it to the ponds. In the normal precipitation cycle, your evaporation takes care of most of it. It is evaporated either from the pond or from the soil. But there are times when evaporation is less than precipitation, and you need to account for that liquid to be stored. And that's what the 120-day period is. There was some talk about using 2 additional months, March and April, because of high precipitation. If you look at the evaporation in those 2 months, it's like twice as high as the precipitation. So it's being lost to the atmosphere, is, I guess, my point.
So the liquid volume doesn't change?
No.
Based on the number of head, but then your nutrient concentration is going to change.
The nutrient concentration could go up. Yes,
there.
It could go up.
So how does your nutrient management plan take that into consideration?
In the event of a significant change on a property, additional sampling. I mean, you will start to establish a baseline of your nutrients. The one sample that we used to calculate the application on that field was the one sample that we had. In the nutrient management plan, we recommended additional sampling once in the spring, presumably when it's probably a more diluted sample, and once in the fall, your precipitation's less, so the material in the ponds should be more concentrated. That will happen in this next growing season, and we'll have data to show, is there a variation? There shouldn't be a significant variation, but we don't know. We prepared to plan with the data that we had. And it'll change year to year. I mean, if the soil concentrations start to increase, the nutrient application will decrease.
So when is this monitoring well going to be put in?
Monitoring plan?
The monitoring plan, I believe that's due.
Well, there's a well.
Well, there's
a well that's supposed to go in to monitor groundwater?
The new permit requires a groundwater monitoring plan with a series of wells to be.
The permit requires a groundwater monitoring plan,
right.
which will be more than one well.
Okay.
We want to develop a system so that we'll be able to detect impacts from the facility.
Do you have a photo or a diagram that shows us where those wells will be placed?
The wells will initially be placed based on hydrogeologic estimates, so the uphill side and the downhill side, but then it could be more of an iterative process because geology could interfere with water migration. There could be clay lenses that might, or faults that could send things in odd directions. There could be large pumping wells that might send water someplace you wouldn't expect. Groundwater gradient doesn't always follow topography, so it's a technical decision to where the wells go and how many wells go. But in general, some will be uphill, some will be downhill.
Okay, so I get the answer then is we don't have the locations laid out at this point.
Correct.
Okay. How many wells are there going to be in total?
Again, you need 3 wells to define a plane, but there could be more wells if it's a complex geology and hydrogeology. It you don't know until you look below the surface.
Are those decisions going to be made solely by Gallo?
No. Gallo will submit a plan. Staff will review the plan Staff has extensive experience in establishing groundwater monitoring systems. You saw some case closures. They all have groundwater monitoring wells, groundwater monitoring systems. And staff will make judgments or decide whether that system is sufficient or the proposal is sufficient, and then write that proposal or a modified version of that proposal into the groundwater monitoring program.
So how quickly could the plan be adopted, wells installed, and data come back?
The plan is required 180 days after the permit's adopted. Staff could probably review that plan within 30 days, and then it would be up to the discharge, and then we could give them a deadline to install the wells. That would depend upon contractor availability, that sort of thing, but
anybody have a feel for how long it takes to put in groundwater monitoring wells?
We've got about 2 weeks of drilling.
All right.
Couple months, but I think we're offering to provide for public input of that and review that.
Right, so maybe 30, 60 days, somewhere in there, but if we have a significant public involvement, could push that back a bit.
So a year from now, we may not have any data. You know, if we wanted to bring this back for a status report, there may not be any.
Under normal circumstances, a year from now, we would have some data. But if there's a lot of controversy over the design of the plan and the system, then we may not have data.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I may.
Yeah.
I was looking for it in the supplemental sheet here, and I don't spot it right at the moment. But in this case, Mr. Schimmick included comments from consultant Mr. Shaw, and which included questions and some recommendations regarding monitoring. So one of the things we said in the supplemental sheet is that we expect Gallo to take into account those comments and consider those in developing the monitoring plan. So in essence, we already have some input. We're not starting from scratch,
right,
in terms of input and things to consider in developing that monitoring plan. And then we would certainly consider those comments as well as any subsequent comments we get when we take a look at the plan, decide whether it's approvable or not.
However, Mr. Schimmick's comments didn't discuss monitoring well locations.
Right.
It's more directed towards sampling of runoff water and soils and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Other